The layout of these latter towns, set amidst the most beguiling landscape in central North America, rigorously subscribes to that concept of northern town planning which might be defined as 1984 prefab, and to my mind provides the source of so compelling an allegory of the human condition as might well have found its way into the fantasy prose of the late Karel Čapek. Marathon is a timber town of some 2,600 souls, and it clings to the banks of a fjord which indents the coast of Lake Superior. Due to a minor miscalculation by one of the company's engineers as to the probable course of the prevailing winds, the place has been overhung since its inception 2 decades ago with a pulp and paper stench that serves to proclaim the monolithic nature of the town's economy, even as it discourages any supplemental income from the tourist trade. Real estate values, consequently, are relative to one's distance from the plant. At the boardwalk level, the company has located a barracks for unmarried and or itinerant workers, up a block, hotel, cinema, chapel, and general store. At the next plateau, an assortment of prefabs. Beyond them, at a further elevation, some split levels for the junior execs. And finally, with one more gentle ascent and a hard right turn, a block of paternalistic brick mansions that would be right to home among the more exclusive suburbs of Westchester County, NY. Surely the upward mobility of North American society can scarcely ever have been more persuasively demonstrated. It gives a man something to shoot at, I was assured by one local luminary whose political persuasion as it developed was somewhere to the right of Prince Metternich. A few hundred yards beyond Presidential Row, a bulldozed trail leads to the smog-free top of the fjord, but from this approach one is held at bay by a padlocked gate bearing a sign from which, in the manner of those reassuring marquees that used to decorate the boarding ramps of Pan American Airways, one learns that your company has now had 165 accident-free workdays, and that access to the top is prohibited. Up there, on that crest, beyond the stench, one can see the two indispensable features of any thriving timber town, its log chute breaking bush back through that trackless terrain, if I may coin a phrase, and an antenna for the low-power relay system of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. These relay outlets, with their radius of 3 or 4 miles, serve only the immediate area of each community. As one drives along number 17, encountering them every hour or so, they constitute the surest evidence that the outside, as we northerners like to call it, is with us still. In the outpost communities, the CBC's culture pitch, Boulez, is very big in Batchewana, is supplemented by local programming, which in the traditions of commercial radio everywhere, leans toward a formula of news on the hour and 55 minutes of the pop picks from Billboard magazine. This happy ambivalence made my last trip along 17 noteworthy, for at that time, climbing fast on all the charts and featured hard upon the hour by most DJs was an item called Who Am I? The singer was Petula Clark, the composer and conductor, Tony Hatch.
Buildings reach up to the sky, the traffic thunders on the busy street. Pavement slips beneath my feet, I walk alone and wonder, who am I?
I contrived to match my driving speed to the distance between relay outlets, came to hear it most hours, and in the end to know it, if not better than the soloist, at least as well, perhaps, as most of the sidemen who were booked for the date. After several hundred miles of this exposure, I checked into the hotel at Marathon and made plans to contemplate Petula.